France's foreign minister said during the week that the United States risks further destabilizing the Middle East after the US Secretary of State warned Iran faced the strongest sanctions in history. Matthew Bay is a senior global analyst at Stratfor.com and joins me now. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
Good, thank you. The European Union is committed to sticking to the Iran nuclear deal after the US withdrew earlier in the month. But European companies are concerned that they'll get hit by these pending US sanctions. How can the Europeans assure Iran that its trade links with Europe are still protected from those US sanctions?
So there are a couple of ways that we've seen different European countries and different European officials try to at least give some initial assurances to Tehran about what they can do. One of the big things that they've already done is started to reactivate the blocking regulations and the blocking statute. What this would allow Europe to do is essentially say that all U.S. sanctions are nullified within the EU as a bloc. This will actually be somewhat helpful for certain European companies, particularly the small ones that don't have a ton of exposure to the United States. They would still be able to then do some trade when it comes to Iran without being able to be sanctioned by the U.S. In an EU court, for example. But for your larger multinational companies, so for example, French's Total or Austria's OMV, et cetera, those companies actually have a ton of U.S. exposure. So the blocking regulations, it doesn't have a lot of an impact there. And they've always been viewed as a more of a political move than an actual blocking mechanism when you start talking about the big institutional investors and the big giant investment that Iran was hoping for.
Now, that Total deal, it's a multi-billion dollar gas project. And Tehran had repeatedly hailed this project as a fantastic symbol of how successful the Iran nuclear deal is. I mean, it's a huge deal if Total pulls out, which they've indicated that they would, along with there's the Danish shipping company Maersk, the German industrial giant Siemens, German insurance firm Allianz. They've all said, look, we're out of here. We're out of Iran.
Yeah, I think, though, when we look at the way that France's Total, for example, is looking at this, is they're looking to get some sort of a waiver in order to continue that business from the U.S. But with Pompeo's 12 demands that he sent out to Iran, promising the biggest sanctions ever, it's highly unlikely that any kind of waivers for any substantial business opportunities for Total are actually going to exist. Iran has hailed this as a particularly important deal for them, but they've also been pretty quick to say that, you know what, if Total leaves the South Pars project, well, we have other investors from China that can step in to do the project as well. It's not an ideal situation for Iran, but it is something that they are at least looking at their alternatives beyond just the EU at this point.
Mm-hmm. What are the longer term implications?
So the longer-term implications are interesting because when we think about the kinds of guarantees that the EU can give now, some of these are going to weaken over time. Those exemptions for reducing oil imports, you have to continuously reduce your oil imports every 180 days in order to renew the exemptions. And if they do that, that means that over time, you're just going to have more and more oil exports from Iran becoming under sanctions, which means that the benefits for the Iranians on the deal are going to just decline over time. So it's not really a sustainable model when you think about it, hitting oil exports over time, which is still the backbone of the Iranian economy and specifically the backbone of the finances for the government.
So from Iran's point of view, I mean, they've signed this nuclear deal and they want some kind of economic benefit. And how is this likely to play out?
So right now, when you think about them within the deal, yes, they would like to get the economic benefits that they were hoping to receive. A lot of those actually hadn't come through if you just look at the numbers. For example, oil revenue really didn't go up all that much, even though oil exports went up by about 1.5 million barrels per day, largely because the oil price collapsed. When you look at those investment opportunities from France's Total, et cetera, most of those weren't finalized yet, so they hadn't seen the benefits yet. So the Iranian economy is struggling, and anything that would actually reduce the oil exports now is going to hit pretty hard. But at the same time, if you are Tehran, what is your number one strategy right now is getting any relief that you can, which means that when it comes to negotiating with the EU, you have no choice. You have to placate them to some degree, which means that when you think about the JCPOA, the nuclear deal in particular, there's a reason for, at least initially, while they're still trying to get some of the benefits that they can from it, it's not worth alienating the EU and pushing them more towards the side to the US. So the EU, for example, goes back to putting into place their own sanctions on Iran, for example, resurfacing the idea of the oil embargo. And if they also pull out of the JCPOA, they then have an easier way for, or there is now an easier way for the UNSC sanctions to come into play with the snapback there. So there's a lot of reasons why Iran, it's not in a good position, but its options are relatively limited at this point.
What about the Iran nuclear deal? Is that going to fizzle out? Is that going to continue without the US? Or is there going to be a new deal made with the other signatories to the original deal?
So I think that the JCPOA, as we know it, is going to basically die by a death by a thousand cuts. We'll see initial agreements signed by the EU and Iran that can allow for some of those economics to succeed over time, but those will slowly decline over time, which means that the hardline establishment in Iran, their voices to pull out of the JCPOA in response, restart the nuclear program, those are only going to get stronger internally, especially as the political power of the moderates, who are the ones now in power, dwindles because they bet so much of their political future on the JCPOA itself. Does that mean that there can't be an interim deal struck between the EU and China and Russia and Iran on the nuclear issue? Well, no. I mean, we've seen this in the past. Between 2003 and 2006, there was an EU-Iran deal. But we also saw that the U.S., as it continued to basically try to undermine the credibility of Iran, that that deal broke down over the course of 3 years. So I would suspect that any deal or any arrangement that is made between the P5 plus one minus the U.S. and Iran is not a sustainable model without the U.S.
Great. Thank you very much. Matthew Bay is a senior global analyst at Stratfor.com. Thank you for coming on and talking to us on Inside Europe.
Thank you for having me.